John from the 15th chapter, glory to you, O Lord. Our gospel this morning is from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, and can be found on page 1676 of your pew Bible. John records, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me also as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown in the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. And this is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus. It's interesting, different translations. Our pew Bibles are NIV. The Bible that I study from is an ESV, and you'll notice a difference in one word. That was in remain was the word that I read in the gospel today. Abide is the word that is in many texts. Our noble, our most excellent shepherd, Jesus, loves to use word pictures to help his people understand his teaching, and I'm grateful for it. For example, he speaks of his church as the bride and himself as the groom. He also speaks of his church as his body and himself as the head. And last week we heard him teach that he is the good shepherd, and that we are the sheep of his flock, the sheep for whom he lays down his life and takes it up again. And today we hear about botany Jesus, or vineyard Jesus, when he says he is the vine and we are the branches. Jesus tells us that it is good for us to abide in him. Just as it is good for the branch to abide in the vine, so also it is good for us to abide in Christ. Now, we no longer use that word abide as often as we once did. In fact, one may ask, what does it mean to abide? Especially, what does it mean to abide in Christ? Well, just first off, the word abide does not describe an action. Instead, it describes a condition. We have other words that do just that, such a thing. These words are stand, or stay, or remain. and so forth. So when I say that a statue stands in the hallway, the statue is not really doing anything. It is just standing there. And that is the source of the expression. You might have heard it. I know I have. Don't just stand there. Do something. Well, that depends on the fact that standing is not really doing. The word abide is like that. It's not something you do. In reality, it is something that you are. A fairly simple understanding of plants makes it fairly obvious that no branch can survive very long without the vine. The exception is the plumeria that comes from the king's yard. The vine is the source of food for the branch. Without food, the branch will starve to death. The branch must remain in, stay in, abide in the vine if it is to survive. Now, we know that a branch cannot attach itself to a vine. Either the vine grows, the branch, or someone has to graft the branch into the vine. In order for us to abide in the vine, someone or something must first place us in the vine. Now, the Holy Spirit inspired Luke to record an excellent example of just how that happens in today's first lesson when Ken read Acts. We read that God dispatched an angel to Philip and told him to journey to a specific place in the desert. And there, Philip met an Ethiopian official who was returning home from Jerusalem. Now, apparently, this official was wealthy, or in today's words, he was loaded. He was reading scripture, so that meant that there was a driver. He was traveling from Jerusalem to Ethiopia, so there had to be supplies for the trip. We read that there was room for Philip to sit down in the chariot with this official. This chariot was the first century like-in-kind to a limousine. What is more, this official actually owned, in his possession, he had a copy of Isaiah. And this is at a time when all books were hand-copied. Would be in a scroll. And Luke identified this official as the treasurer of the country of Ethiopia. Now, this man was well off financially, but he was not connected to Christ. And Philip asked him, you may recall, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I? Unless someone guides me. That's Acts chapter 8, verses 30 and 31. He was reading Isaiah, but he did not understand. And those who abide in Christ know that Jesus suffered and died on the cross to save them from sin. And they will recognize the words of Isaiah as words that describe that suffering and dying. The words that point to Christ crucified. Now listen to the words that lead up to the words from Isaiah that were quoted in today's reading. Isaiah recorded, surely he was born, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's Isaiah 53, 4 through 6. And then came the words that we heard read today, is quoted on Acts chapter 8, verses 32 and 33. He said, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. That's Isaiah 53, 7. And later Isaiah goes on to say, he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. That is Isaiah 53, 12. This is all part of the great suffering servant prophecy of Isaiah. And it begins in Isaiah 52, verse 13, and it continues all the way through Isaiah 53. This is one of the greatest poetic descriptions of Jesus on the cross in the Bible. And it was written approximately 700 years before Jesus was born. The one who abides in Christ abides in his words and knows that the entire Bible is about Jesus. Philip knew that the Bible is about Jesus. So Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus, Acts 8:35. Now, although it takes just a few moments to describe what Philip did, we should not think that Philip's instruction of the official was equally as short, because we know that he had to tell him what Jesus, that Jesus was the promised Messiah. He had to tell him how Jesus unpacked Moses with the Sermon on the Mount. He had to teach this Ethiopian about the events of Holy Week. He especially had to teach how Jesus suffered and died and took away the sins of the world and then rose again from the dead. And he had to teach how the Holy Spirit gives faith that receives the forgiveness of sins that Jesus earned on the cross. He had to teach all these things and more. The Bible does not tell us how long Philip taught, but it would not be unreasonable to think that Philip taught for the rest of the day, and perhaps into the next day. We should not think that it was a few quick sound bites, and that the teaching was finished. No, this was an interaction, a fellowship. And we know the teaching was quite extensive, because the official knew about baptism. For as they were going along, it is recorded in Acts, as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So the official, he desired the blessings that only the Holy Spirit delivers in baptism. And Philip baptized him. The Holy Spirit is now connected to the official. And he's connected the official to Christ as a branch that is connected to the vine. It is, as Martin Luther said, whoever is baptized in Christ is baptized through his suffering and blood. Or, to state it more clearly, through baptism, he bathed in the blood of Christ and he is cleansed from sins. Jesus compared himself to the vine and us to the branches. And therefore, we must remain in. We must stay in. We must abide in Jesus if we are to survive. Separation from Jesus means starvation for us. Nature provides us with this very example of the separation that occurs every autumn. During the spring and summer, we see green plants that are full of chlorophyll. And chlorophyll, as we know, is very green, and it gives plants the green color that they have during the spring and during the summer. And chlorophyll also helps plants use sunshine to make food and to stay alive. However, when the weather cools down in the autumn, some tree leaves grow what is called a separation layer. The separation layer stops the flow of nutrition into the leaves, and the green chlorophyll goes away, and then all the other colors of the leaves start to show up. And the colors have always been there. It's just that you can't see them because of the powerful green of the chlorophyll. And these beautiful colors of the trees in the autumn tells us that the chlorophyll is gone from the leaves. It also tells us that the leaves are dead. And soon they will fall from the tree, and the branches of the tree will look very bare indeed. And the fall colors are a bittersweet beauty, and the colors can be amazing, but they are a reminder of death. The death of leaves that have separated themselves from the tree. And again, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, and every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. John 15:1-2. And with these words, Jesus teaches us the sad truth that the church also has those people who grow a separation layer. And this separation layer cuts them off from Jesus. And this means that they are cut off from forgiveness. They are cut off from salvation, and they are cut off from eternal life. They may be beautiful, like the autumn leaves, but they are spiritually dead. And eventually, the Father will take them away. Jesus contrasted those who abide in him with those who do not. He said, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into fire and buried. This is a very terrifying prospect. That is to be dried and to be gathered and to be thrown in the fire of hell because we do not abide in Christ. And this makes it very clear that there is no salvation except in Jesus Christ. He is the only way. So we have learned that it is essential for us to remain in, to stay in, to abide in Jesus. And one may think, well, that's all very well and good for the people back then. They could touch Jesus. They could talk with him. They could eat with him. In general, they could hang out with him. But how did they abide when Jesus ascended into heaven? And indeed, what are we to do today now that we no longer have his visible presence? How do we abide in Jesus? Well, Jesus himself gave the answer to that question as well. He said this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. John 15:7. These words teach us that Jesus abides in us when his words abide in us. And it is, as Martin Luther said, Christ adds this comment here. Just pay attention to my word, for everything depends on whether my word remains in you. So we see that to abide in Christ is to abide in his word. The very same word that Philip shared with the official from Ethiopia. So we see that the Holy Spirit uses the same word of God to connect us to Jesus and to keep us in Jesus. And all who abide in Christ's word, who abide in Christ, they abide in Christ in his life, in this life, and forever in the next. In the name of Jesus, amen.